morning. It's Sunday, February 6th.
Oh, yes, Lord. Lord, we ask for your blessing on our time together. Lord, we ask for your blessing on our lives. It's difficult times for a lot of people. Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that you would be there as a foundation, that we would know there is a floor that you just will not permit us to go lower than. We thank you. We thank you that you are a Heavenly Father that does that. And we ask, O Jesus, that you would... that we would just be able to go forth in hope, expectation that things are going to be good. And Lord, that we would be able to be your sons so that we will be in some way that we just plain don't understand like Jesus, Lord. Cause that good work to be done by your Spirit. Amen. Amen.
I looked for a scripture, and I looked in the concordance this morning, and only to realize it's only a few scriptures verses away from the scriptures that we've been talking about quite a bit lately. And it's in the second chapter the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And the verses that have really come out lately are like verse 4, verse 5. It says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And then this one, I didn't even realize that it was this close, but it says, "Casting down imaginations, images, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Well, anyway, a few verses later, in verse 12, is one I was looking for this morning. It says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves." This is the King James. It might be a little hard to relate to here, but it says, "But they, measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." The comparison that matters is how we relate to Christ. How we become Christ-like. That's what matters. And I was thinking, you know, we're real familiar with Don Burnett. You know, he passed away, you know, I don't know, maybe a year ago or so. But anyway, Don Burnett had a speech impediment, and he couldn't pronounce his R's. And I first met him in an Assembly of God church, a Trinitarian church, and what he was teaching was the unfolding revelation of God, and that was a tricky way of saying, "I don't believe in the Trinity," but that entire church did. And one day they discovered that he really wasn't teaching the Trinity, and they asked him to leave. And meanwhile, I had been in a few of his messages, and I was really awestruck at the wisdom and the understanding he had. And of course, we got to hear his ours that were ours. You know, I can't even say
ours.
Ours, yeah. And after a while, we get to understand, you know, what he was saying. And but anyway, having said all of that, and listening to the last of the tenth, or all of the tenth chapter, and everything in the last parts of the Second Corinthians, I believe that Paul had a speech impediment. And he says, because there's a verse in here, and it says, I'll get to it. But he says, you say that my letters are weighty, and that I'm bold in what I write in letters, but my presence is weak and contemptible. I'm not sure the word that he uses, but anyway.
Contemptible.
Yeah, contemptible.
Is weak in his speech, contemptible.
Yeah, okay. And I don't know that that's really the case, because he had a vision, and in the vision or experience, he said the Lord had told him that Paul, your weakness is also your strength, because through his weakness, the strength of God showed up. I don't know exactly how to say it. But it says here that don't compare yourselves to others. Now, we have done that. This church, I have done it myself. And we have had some phenomenal services in this church. We had a music ministry larger than what we have in the church, right, than what we have sitting here. And I have one picture of it. Because of my age and whatever, I've looked at it and I've tried to remember who some of these people were.
And I've already told you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, but anyway, and I've looked around it and I thought, you know, why don't other churches have what we got? Well, you know what? There, a lot of other churches did have what we had. And it says, don't compare yourselves to what you see in other people, or don't, you know, don't think of yourselves higher than you ought to think. And that's basically what it is. And I thought, you know what? Become like Jesus.
Mm.
That's what God has caused us to be, Bible readers and Bible hearers. Because the objective is to become what Jesus was and what God wants you and me to be. That's the objective. But anyway, so whatever happens to one person doesn't necessarily happen to anybody else. But it can. I just was looking at an article here in the Only God Could Do This book by Jerome. And he told of I just saw it this morning. And he was in a church in, I don't know, Africa, someplace over, you know, he made a lot of trips with the full gospel discipline. And there was a guy that had a big plate on the side of his head. And the doctors, he had a brain tumor, and the doctors had had put a plate there to leave room for the brain tumor. They didn't know what else to do with it. And he couldn't talk or anything. He was just having a lot of difficulty. And Jerome prayed for him, and nothing happened. And he felt bad about it. And he people back home in America were praying for him and stuff, and and a year later, he went back over to the same church, and he kind of looking around for the guy. He couldn't remember what he looked like, and a guy come up from the front And he picked him up and he carried him around and he says, I'm the fellow that you prayed for a brain tumor a year ago. And he said, it started to go down and it went down until it was gone. And the doctor put a plate and he banged his head to cover the hole that they had left. But he said, I'm totally healed.
Lord.
And I thought, you didn't see that on the news, did you?
No.
They're not good at it.
It's just so cool how many miracles happen. And I, your own happened by one who needed to have when you let me get surgery for his kidney stones at the beginning. And it was all healed because he gave his life to the Lord. And lives can be changed just from giving your life to the Lord. It's just.
I could hear Caden talking, but I couldn't hear what he said. That's okay. Can everybody else hear him okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah. No problem.
Yeah, Charlie's got a hearing aid.
Charlie's a lot younger than you, too, right?
But he just got a hearing aid.
I know.
Yeah, and also with. Grandpa didn't know all about all these miracles that happened in his book. He just wants me to keep reading it into him over and over and over.
Are you on round three now?
I'm on round four, please. You read it to me, I read it to Grandpa. Can you hear me as well? He read it with me.
I remember when Jerome was here at this church. It was early on. Within a year or so of when I first got saved. And remember what he prayed for people, there was healings, but he spent some time in the pulpit, and he said, I always have to do battle with pride. You know, I just have to battle that thing. And then somewhere along the line, he said, I don't know why I'm preaching this, you know. But he did. And it, I don't know, maybe he was preaching it for, you know, I don't know what he would, you know. But anyway, I have remembered that. And I have realized, hey, you just have to, and first of all, hey, we're weak. And there is something in us that even though it's God doing this, we want to, you know, snatch some credit where we don't, you know, we want to snatch credit. And surely Jerome would have known that, and yet he constantly had battle pride. That is something that we. Well, you know, if there is great power that is manifested through this church, I'm sure that hopefully we've gotten mature, so it wouldn't be a big, big battle. But we need to be, we must not pretend. Oh, no, that would never happen. Come on now. We best not pretend that that's true. Just, it was, I tell you, I have a lot of respect for him for his owning up to it. Mm-hmm. You know? I thought that was pretty good. Anyway.
Another thing I saw in Jerome's book was when Jerome was in, I'm pretty sure, like, there was a church in, I'm pretty sure, Russia, and it was, like, building out on the side of a mountain, and they were having a priest. Like speech and stuff, and then he came off of the stage and went down to a woman crying and prayed for her before going to another girl in a wheelchair. And he prayed for her, and he told the woman that all your prayers would be answered today. And then he went up to the other lady and told her and prayed for her and told her she started walking because she was paralyzed. she was paralyzed at first when she started walking, and the person who she, Jerome prayed for first was the girl's mother.
That was really cool, because Jerome didn't know. This woman was just devastated and crying, and like her prayer request was an unspoken one, but it was like her heart's deepest desire was that her daughter would be healed. And then he had prayed for the daughter, and she started walking, and so those two things weren't correlated until later. But he had like an overwhelming thing from the Lord to just walk up to this woman and tell her all of your heart's desires was going to be answered today, without knowing what that was.
Well, there are a couple of scriptures. Not that much. There are a couple. In Revelation, you know when we first started listening to the scriptures, oh my God, it was like, no way, we have this. It was hard. Like, man, I don't skip that. Well, you know what? It's still there. Anyways, this is in Revelation. And this is been in my heart for months, and then it comes out of my heart. I kind of forgot about it. Jesus says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So, I'm sure we have all vomited here. It's something that is not good in your body. It doesn't do you any good. You need to eliminate it.
Yeah.
Anyways, but that's not even the point. The point is that Jesus would rather have you be all in or all out. All out is better than mediocre.
Yeah.
He wishes cold or he wishes mediocre is worse than cold. And he's not talking to the streets out there, to the people selling weird stuff. He's talking to the church. So that's where you find mediocrity, really. So anyways, let's think about it. Mediocrity is worse than nothing. You know why? I don't know why this is said, but if you're cold or you're hot, it's fine. If you're cold, then God has something to work with. He can work with something. But if you're mediocre, it's like you've been mediocre for a while and you're kind of stuck in there. You're stuck in your ways. And Jesus says, and I'm not going to quote this exactly, but he says, you know, I prefer to preach to harlots and tax collectors because they believe me. We say, but you church people, you have nothing to do with me. You know what I mean? So anyways, that's one thing I wanted to share. This is about something else. I've just been in my head for a couple of weeks. I have hair longer. It's about forgiveness. I've been talking about that. But I've been hearing a lot through my wife and daughter, like, oh, you know, and I hear it say to other people, you need to forgive yourself. You need to forgive yourself. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, my spiritual wheels are turning. And it's like, that's not in the Bible. That is not in the Bible. The Bible says nowhere, that you need to forgive yourself. Because the one that is to forgive you, if you've done something wrong, you can apologize to the person or whatever, but it's God, the one that needs to forgive your sins. You forgiving your sins is not a thing. It's not in the Bible. And if you see it in the Bible, I really want you to show me. It's not in the Bible. So what happens now? This is the devil, right? What does the devil want to do? He wants to lie to you. He wants you to believe his lies to keep you away from the kingdom of God, to keep you away from eternal life.
Sure.
Because if you believe this, you need to forgive yourself. You can't go forward onto the other things because you're trying to do something that is impossible, that is not there.
you're trying to do something that you can't. Because God doesn't say you need to do it, or you should. Now, I understand, though, why people say that. I do. I keep saying I understand stuff. You know what? I don't know that I understand. But I think, for example, let's say I left my house, and I accidentally left the gas stove on with no flame, and the whole thing was on fire, and it killed all my family. That's not a sin. I may regret that, and I would wish that I would have not done something stupid like that. I could have probably, why didn't I do this different thing, you know? Or I hurt someone and I could have avoided. I could have avoided doing certain things, and that's how regret things and it torments you. But it's not a sin. It's not. You just made a mistake. But I want to say you made a mistake. But the truth is that God is in charge of every movement that of the evil ones and of the righteous. He's in charge. Your hairs are all counted. And you think you got this thing figured out, that you did it or you didn't. God, if your actions caused someone to die, let's say, you don't have what it takes to feel guilty of that. Because, fortunately or unfortunately, God set it up like that. And He just happened to use you. But it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Okay? God is in charge. He made all this happen. He's behind it. Okay? And it's not a sin to make a mistake like that that causes something bad. It's not a sin. And if it was a sin, then you have to do the first thing that Jesus spoke when He came down on the mountain. He says, repent and believe in the gospel. So if you have sins, ask for forgiveness from God. But you don't have to forgive yourself. Nobody, God doesn't require it. It doesn't exist. It's not true. Now, you have regrets. You know, I regret doing this, and it caused this bad thing. Then you and God need to work with on that. But it's not. You don't have to ask for forgiveness of yourself. Okay? And there's one scripture that I'm going to read that may help, but there's several. And now, why do you feel like you need to forgive yourself? Well, it's tormenting you, right? It's just wishing you would have done different. Okay? So it's you're not happy. You are not joyful. You are missing something. You're missing joy. We're going to go to square one here of our board game. It's our game. It says, if you keep my commandments, said Jesus, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So, if you have these regrets or whatever it is that is tormenting you, your joy may be full. You can get rid of that regret, this torment, by abiding in the Word of God. Let the Word of God abide in you. Abide in Jesus and all that. And this scripture right here, we've been talking about it really for 20 plus years. And let's get back to it. Let's get back to it. I'm not saying that thing. But if you need joy, if something is messing up with you, first of all, it's not that you have to forgive yourself, because that is a lie. It is a lie from the devil. Okay, not from God. You don't have to forgive yourself. Others might have to forgive you for different things. But God, if you repent, God forgave you. Don't be tormented. Okay? So keep His commandments, and you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Okay, so that's the solution. That's the answer. That's the answer. The commandments. The commandments. That is the answer for your torment of whatever you're going through. Okay, don't think you have to do something that is not in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, it's just not in the Bible. Now, if you see some place in the Bible, I want to hear it. In fact, I Googled, said, forgiving yourself. And there were like 30 scriptures, and they were not about forgiving yourself. They were just something else. Okay?
Yeah, but it became a discussion because Pablo, fortunately, didn't live colorful things in his past that he doesn't live with. Things that people he had to forgive deep, or he's got regrets like his wife does. So we've had this discussion, me and Brittany and Pablo, about self-forgiveness, and, you know, Brittany has a past, I have a past, we have a lot of things we need to forgive her. And through this several weeks, we've come to realize that I can't forgive myself for the things that I feel guilty of or whatever. And there's things God has forgiven me for things that I have sinned. And I feel free in that. Where the I have to forgive myself is certain tortures of when I was doing a certain jewelry business and made a ton of money, but I would be a half no relief for my kids' volleyball game at Christian school. Those are things that, so then in my mind, I have to forgive myself for not putting the right things in, you know what I mean? So Pablo's like, yeah, that's not a forgive. That's, so we've had this discussion for weeks between the three of us, and he's like, no, you can't, you know. But Brady and I call it forgiving. So we weren't telling Pablo, you have to forgive yourself. We were saying, we have this thing, we have to forgive ourselves. And so come to realize, I mean, I can forgive myself, but I need prayer for that. I forgive myself for the sins that I did, but it's those things where those regrets of things you've done that you wish you would have done different, that's necessarily not a sin. You know what I mean? But it's just free of that torture that where the devil likes to be like, oh, remember this? You know?
I think that's why forgiveness is so important, because it's not even that you have to forgive yourself, but more that you have to allow yourself to be forgiven, because the Bible makes it super clear only that the way you forgive, you will be forgiven. The way you judge, you will be judged. And so if I'm saying I forgive somebody, but I'm being tortured, in I think it's in 3 John, or it could be in 1 John, it says that if there is torture, love isn't perfected in you, because true love casts out all fear. And I think that's where that piece is. It's not even the, I don't need to forgive myself. The devil uses that as a torture to remind me of things that I've failed in times. But allowing myself to be forgiven as I see and understand other people in those situations, that's a freeing thing.
I think I heard Pablo right. Even if you say you can't forgive yourself.
No, I have no authority to do that.
Right.
No. But I give demons legal rights and authorities to torture me.
Well, that's not sin.
No. No, but in my mind, it's still I need to forgive myself for...
And that's a lie.
You know what I mean? And then the fact that comes up is I
letting go.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Not forgiving.
Yes.
Letting go.
Yes.
And accepting God's forgiveness.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's like my mind.
I can forgive myself. That's what I mean.
Right. Yes. That's what I was telling him. I said, you know, my mind, I mean, we all know I've been the pastor's daughter for, you know, 48 years. So, and I have way more regrets than some people who were not pastor's daughters. So then there's that thing also. You know what I mean? And so it's like, it's not a, it's just different things that I realize I have to let go. When the torture comes, I have to let go of that. And in my mind, I've always said, I need to forgive myself. I need to forgive myself.
It's what you mean by what you're saying.
Yeah.
As Pablo was talking, I was listening, and I agree with what he said. I think we tend to let English trip us up a little bit, maybe Spanish in Pablo's case, but we can't forgive because we don't have the ability to forgive, especially with a sin. I think, though, that the way to look at that at least for me, is I have to be able to get myself to the place where I can ask for repentance. Because only God can forgive.
Right.
Yet, we talk about if someone does something odd against you, you know, Scripture says, well, we need to forgive them. Well, by what we just said, I can't. And my forgiveness doesn't mean anything to that person, because if they ought it against me, and it was sin, the only one that can really fix that is God. So you've got to be careful how legalistically you attack it. I'm not saying you were, but I think when we say that, at least to me, I have to get to the place where I can ask for repentance for what I've done. And what have I done may have been an accident, but it still bothers me. You know, if I did something that hurt or harmed someone, I would still feel bad, and I have to get to the place where I can ask God to forgive me if what happened was sin. If it wasn't sin and it was just bad behavior, then you could argue bad behavior still qualifies as sin on some level. But
you know what also just popped in my head was, it's like a deliverance freedom. So whatever it all entails, I, you know, it's the, okay, everybody can forgive, but it's really hard to forget. You know what I mean? And to imagine, God forgives and he forgets. Us humans, we don't forget so much. So when we can get to the point where we remember and we don't harbor feelings towards the person, or we remember and we don't harbor feelings towards ourselves, that's the freedom, which is a spirit that tortures us. It's a freedom of, you know, a repentance, but it's a freedom of the torture, of the gnawing torture, you know, to just kind of let it go.
Sure. I'm a little bit with you, Pablo. I've never quite got this forgive yourself thing, you know. But it's something that appears to resonate for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, you know, they can be very earnest about that. And so whatever it is that's going on, it is something that needs God's involvement.
Mm-hmm.
It needs, you know, healing, whether it's a healing, or, you know, or deliverance or whatever. You just need God in there dealing with this thing, washing out the mess.
So whatever the issue is, it needs to be addressed.
Right.
You know, but the wrong approach is, I need to forgive myself. Because if you have an issue, you're approaching it with something that is not called, with something, you know, the right tool. You know what I mean? It needs to be addressed just differently, you know, and just abiding the word of God. Mm-hmm. And when I said this was in my heart, you know, for a week or so, 2 weeks, who knows, I thought, you know what, Paul, he was a murderer of Christians. Well, I mean, is there anything worse than that? You know, and how often is it brought up? I don't think he brought it up. I think somebody else pointed it out. So he wasn't killed all these Christians. No, he obviously was able to let it go. You know what I mean? So whatever Paul did worked for him. You know,
I think he did share it.
Yeah, but it wasn't in the backbone of he. You know, it wasn't.
He didn't dwell on it.
No,
right.
You know,
God forgave him.
Right.
And Paul, I just said that whatever he did worked for him, but